This morning we've been looking at the gospel, and I hope we appreciated those songs and the scripture readings all tied together along this theme. We've just finished studying Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in our sermons on Sunday mornings in December, and so this morning we've looked at a number of scriptures from those books, and we've also been singing songs about that, and I'm putting an image up here that we have over the baptistry downstairs, and it is an image that is familiar to most of us, and I appreciate this in particular because it's so clear in showing what the gospel is, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. And that first scripture there is a reference to 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. And that's where Paul says, "Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, in which also you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures." And so Paul defines it for us there. The gospel, the good news, is that Jesus came to this earth to live a life for us. He lived a perfect life so that he could be a perfect sacrifice. And then he took our place. He died, he was buried, he was raised up from the dead. Just briefly, I would invite you to turn with me to another passage about the gospel. This one is found in Romans chapter 1. And we'll be looking at a few verses scattered through the book of Romans. There are also just some brief references where we won't be reading a verse, but I just wanted to put these up here if you want to look at these in a little more detail later. So we'll be looking at a few verses. And then we start in Romans chapter 1. I want us to notice that he mentions the gospel in the first verse of this book. Romans is a very famous, very well-known book. Notice he's writing this letter to the church in Rome, and he starts in Romans chapter 1, verse 1. He says, "Paul, a bondservant of Christ Jesus, called as an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who was born of a descendant of David according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord." And then he continues on from there, of course, but the idea, even at the beginning of Romans, in the first verse, is that the gospel or the good news is of God. That means the good news comes from God. It was started by God. It's all about God. It's made possible by God. And the good news is about God's Son, as Paul says, who was born into this world. He was declared to be the Son of God with power by his resurrection from the dead. It's very easy for us to think that the gospel is a New Testament idea, and certainly it is. We have the four gospel accounts, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But we also, I hope we notice, in verse 2 of Romans chapter 1, that the gospel, Paul says, was promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. And so in a sense there, the gospel, it was preached in Old Testament times. It was previewed. The good news was preached earlier. And that's this reference to Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. Paul actually says there that God preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, "All the nations will be blessed in you." I didn't really realize that until I looked at that as scripture again in this light this week. But God preached the gospel to Abraham, you know, back 2,000 years, even before Jesus came into this world. So when God promised Abraham that all nations would be blessed in him, he was speaking of Jesus. And so in that regard, God was preaching the gospel to Abraham. And that brings us to Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Paul writes this church, Rome, the capital city of the Roman Empire. And notice what he says in Romans 1, 16 concerning the gospel. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And so the gospel's powerful, and it's God's power for salvation. It's good news. As powerful as it is, though, the good news, it doesn't save everybody. The gospel's powerful, but not everybody's going to be saved because of the gospel. And that's where we move on, this first hint, as Paul explains that it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. Not everybody believes, and so the gospel won't save everybody. But there is this step of belief that we've been singing about this morning. And so as we've learned in the singing and the scripture readings, this belief starts with hearing. Before we can believe something, we need to hear it. We need to understand it. We need to know what the good news is. So the gospel has to be taught. The gospel has to be shared from one person to another person. It has to be heard, whether through the written word or through the spoken word, but it has to be heard and understood. The importance of preaching and hearing in God's plan is outlined in this next passage up here, Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 17. If you're familiar with Romans 10 in the first part, Paul is just wishing beyond all hope that the members of his own physical family could be saved. They were lost, and Paul wanted them to be saved. I know some of you here this morning, myself included, we're in that category. We have loved ones who have not yet believed and obeyed the gospel. And we feel terribly about that. We want them to obey. We want them to believe. We can't force that, of course, on them. But that's our longing. And so as he's thinking about this, he realizes something. Notice, please, Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 17. Paul says, "How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? How will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? How will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." So as we think about that good news then, Paul, he states the obvious. It's impossible to obey something that we've never heard. And so there's this huge emphasis on preaching and teaching and communicating the gospel. So we either preach and teach ourselves, we get up here, we do it, or we tell other people about it, or we send or support somebody who can and will. And so that may be financial support. We send them on their way. We make them or help them go on a trip. Or maybe it's a combination of both. Hopefully it's all of these mixed together. We personally share it, and also we support the preaching of the gospel publicly as well. But it's very important that the word gets out. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, Paul says here. So faith comes from hearing the word of God. And sometimes I know people are wondering, you know, well, do I know enough to obey the gospel? That's a common question. You know, I kind of get these concepts. Do I really know enough? Do I have enough faith to obey it? Paul says faith comes from hearing. And so if we have doubt there, we read more, we study more, we learn more, we open up the word of God, and belief is what happens when we hear the word of Christ in Scripture. When we come together as a church then, it is incredibly important that we study the Bible. That's why we have a Bible class at 9:30 every Sunday morning. And that's why that Bible class is focused on a chunk of Scripture. If you were here this morning, we studied a paragraph from the Word of God. So it's not what Stuart says about it. It's not the comments that are made in class necessarily. But it's that we have opened the Word of God. We're looking at what Jesus wants us to do. And that is a faith-building activity. We don't come here to hear somebody's opinion. We come to this building together as a Christian family to hear the Word of God. That means our classes, the sermons, everything here needs to be anchored in Scripture. We also need to be studying on our own. An hour or two a week isn't enough. We need to look into it. We need to dig into it, because when we hear, we believe. Faith comes from hearing the Word of God. But as we've also been singing and reading this morning, there is more to it than just hearing and believing. Yes, believing is important. There's the reference there to James 2:19. James tells us that even the demons believe, and they tremble at the fact that when they understand God is who he said he is, that God is one, they are terrified by that. The demons believe that Jesus is the Son of God. If you remember that passage we studied just a week or so ago, remember the demons in the man? They were terrified. So the demons believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I think it'd be safe to say that the demons believe that Jesus died, was buried, and was raised up on the third day. They know this. And so the demons, they believe the gospel in a sense. And yet, are the demons saved? I think that's not what we're talking about here, because there's more to it than just believing something. They believe it. They believe it. But just believing something doesn't save a person all on its own. And we could illustrate this if we go to the doctor with some condition. And if this doctor tells us you need to take these pills over the next 10 days, I can say, well, I believe the doctor. And yet that's not going to do me any good if I don't take the pills as he or she says to do. And so it's more than just believing in something, but we actually have to do something about it. And the reason is the gospel has to be obeyed. We hear it, we believe it, we obey it. And that, of course, is the structure for our service this morning. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 8, Paul is explaining that the angels will deal out God's retribution on those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. These will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. That's terrifying. So huge emphasis there on obeying the gospel. If we don't obey the gospel, then we're dealing with angels and flaming fire and this eternal destruction. Peter puts it in the form of a question in 1 Peter 4:17 when he says, "For it is time for judgment to begin with the household of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God?" And the implication is, it will not be good for those who do not obey the gospel of God. And so the question for us this morning as we wrap this up is, how do we obey the good news? We obey the good news when we are so moved by what God did for us that we just do what he tells us to do. We understand what he did, we come to believe it, and then we obey it. We see what sin is, we turn away from it. We see what sin cost the Son of God, and we turn away from it. Then we imitate the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus as we allow ourselves to be buried with him in baptism. And this is the other half of that drawing or the painting or whatever it is from downstairs, right over the baptistry there. So it's a good reminder for us, but this is the other part of it. And the image up here illustrates what baptism actually is. So as we close, I'd invite you to turn with me to the last passage up here, Romans chapter 6. And let's look together at Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 7, keeping this in mind. This is on page 1765 in the Pew Bibles. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? May it never be. How shall we who died to sin still live in it? Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin." We obey the gospel then when we reenact the gospel in our own lives. We reenact the death, the burial, and the resurrection. We die to sin, we are buried with him in baptism, and then we're then raised up out of the water to live the Christian life. If you're not yet a Christian, we're inviting you to take this step today. This is something that can be done within the next half hour. If you have any questions about that, we would encourage you to pull us aside after the service this morning. We'd love to sit down with you and open the Word of God and study through it. But if baptism is for the forgiveness of sins, which the Scripture teaches that it is, and if baptism is how we are buried with Christ, as he explains here in Romans chapter 6, then that's something we need to do immediately. If we're not saved until this happens, that's something we need to do right away. So if you want to study about it, let us know. If you're ready to take this step right now, we have a baptistry downstairs. It's a fiberglass tank, like a big bathtub, about 125 gallons. It takes about 25 minutes to fill it up with clean, warm water. And you can do what Jesus did, the death, the burial, the resurrection. Again, if you have questions, want to talk, talk to us after the service. But if that's something you need to do right now, you can let us know about your decision as we sing this next song. Let's all stand and sing.